7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. 7 o'clock on a Monday evening means it's time for the Opera Box.
The flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la, every palm is of merry sunshine. As we merrily dance and we sing, tra-la, we welcome the hope that they bring.
And welcome in the Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel. I hope you're enjoying this spring weather, typical for the Front Range. And in honor of that, my playlist features Spring in Opera, like the flowers that bloom in the spring.
The flowers that bloom in the spring, ta-la, have nothing to do with the case. I've got to take under my wing, ta-la, a most unattractive old thing, ta-la, with a caricature of a face, with a caricature of a face. And that's what I mean when I say or I sing. Oh, bother the flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la. Oh, bother the flowers of spring,
tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la.
The Emperor of Japan's son, Nanki Poo, is hoping to fob off his arranged fiancée to Coco, the Lord High Executioner, but Coco isn't buying it. From Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado. In that recording, we heard Colin Wright as Nanki Poo and John Reed as Coco. Royston Nash conducted the Doily Cart Opera Company. And here we are, 2 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadel at KGNU. And I've got spring scenes in opera. Spring inspires everyone with the beauty of nature, and the next aria is sung by a girl who prefers to be among nature more than among humans. Richard Strauss's 1938 opera, Daphne, is based on the Greek myth of the virgin nymph Daphne. In the myth, Apollo lusts after the beautiful shepherd girl and chases her. Not wanting to lose her virginity, she prays to the gods, and she is turned into a beautiful laurel tree, foiling Apollo's advances. Now, in the opera, Apollo kills her friend, Leucippos, and when he sees Daphne's grief, Apollo asks Zeus to turn her into a tree, to grant her wish to be an eternal part of nature. And in this aria, which is from the beginning of the opera, it's a beautiful day, and she sings her love of sunlight. It is the same as the trees and the flowers.
Thank you.
Young Daphne prefers the company of the flowers and the trees more than human contact. We heard the great Hilde Gaden as Daphne with Carl Böhm conducting the Vienna Opera Orchestra. It's just coming up 12 after 7 o'clock, and you're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadel at KGNU, and I've got a program featuring spring operatic scenes. Next, I've got two different operatic treatments of the same moment of spring worship, both based on Goethe's Faust. First, from The Damnation of Faust by Hector Berlioz. Most people know the plot of Faust, the philosopher who makes a deal with the devil for ultimate knowledge. He's tried unsuccessfully to understand the meaning of life and the universe. And in the first part of Berlioz's treatment of the story, Faust observes the simple peasants in prayer and their joy in spring and Easter celebration. He realizes he will never know that simple happiness nor acceptance of the world. The philosopher Faust laments that he will never learn the meaning of life, nor find peace and happiness like the simple peasants who are celebrating Easter. We heard Nikolai Gaeta tenor as Faust. Georges Prêtre conducted the orchestra and chorus of the Paris Opera. I'm going to follow that up with a contrasting setting of the same moment in the story, this time by the Italian composer Arrigo Boito. Boito is most famous as a librettist for other composers such as Puccini and Verdi. But Mephistopheles is his own operatic masterpiece, and in his setting, the peasant celebration is extended. It's more joyous than Berlioz. Where Berlioz peasants were solemn and devotional, Boito makes it a festival. Faust and his friend, Wagner, observe the celebrations. Faust extols the beauty of spring, and yet he feels deeply unsatisfied and preoccupied by the mysteries of life.
Il sotto non chiama fanciulle. sovra quel sasso. Osserva come fulgoreccia la vespro le capanne.
Faust is moved by the beauty of spring and nature, but this only serves to increase his wish to know the meaning of life. From Boito's Mephistopheles, and we heard the great Placido Domingo as Faust and Thomas Allen as his companion Wagner, Julius Rudel conducted the London Symphony and the Ambrosian Chorus. It's 26 minutes before 8 o'clock, and you're listening to the Opera Box at KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, and my program tonight is of operatic spring. And be sure to stay with me after the Opera Box for a Classic Monday. It'll be the 16th program in my series of program music, and tonight it's also about spring. That's at 8 p.m. right here at KGNU. Well, from the pious celebrations of Easter, we move to a pagan celebration of spring in Saint-Saëns' Samson and Delilah. Saint-Saëns' opera is based on the biblical story of the Hebrews enslaved by the Philistines. In the first act, the Hebrews pray to God for relief from their bondage. And as a contrast to their suffering, the Philistine women begin a pagan celebration of spring.
Thank you.
The chorus of Philistine women enjoy a pagan celebration of spring while the Hebrew slaves pray for deliverance. From Samson and Delilah by Camille Saint-Saëns, and in that recording we heard Giuseppe Pitani conducting the Munich Radio Orchestra and the chorus of the Bavarian Radio Orchestra. I'm going to close tonight's operatic paean to spring with the love scene from Wagner's Die Walküre, the Valkyrie. Part two of Wagner's four-opera Norse mythology epic, The Nibelung's Ring. At the beginning of Act One of Opera Number Two, a young man takes refuge in a hut during a storm. When he bursts into the hut, he finds a woman there named Sieglinde. In the middle of the hut is a huge tree growing right up through the roof. Sieglinde's husband, Hunding, arrives, and the stranger is asked to explain himself. He was chased by a clan of brutish men, men who were taking part in a forced marriage, and he tried to defend the young girl but was outnumbered and had to flee for his life. It turns out Hunding is a member of that clan. He allows the stranger to stay the night, as the custom of hospitality demands, but he challenged the weaponless stranger to a battle in the morning. Sieglinde gave Hunding, her husband, a sleeping potion so that she could talk to the stranger. And while they're talking, the door to the hut swings open and moonlight floods in. This startles her, and in this scene, the stranger calms her. It's just spring that has come in. See, Glinda tells him she was abducted as a girl and later forced to marry Hunding. During the wedding, a stranger came in, plunging a large sword into the tree, declaring the sword will come out only for the man who needs it. For years, men tried unsuccessfully to pull the sword from the tree, and she tells him about that. The stranger says that bad luck has followed him since he was a boy. His mother and sister were abducted while he and his father were hunting. When Siglinda asks him about his father, she realizes he is her brother Sigmund, and the sword must be meant for him. With both hands, he grabs the haft and pulls the sword out of the tree. The siblings declare their love for each other and run off into the night.
Stürme wichen dem Wonnemond, in mildem Lichte leuchtet der Lenz. Auf Lindenlüften leicht und lieblich, wunderwebend er sich wiegt. Durch Wald und Tal weht sein
weiß mich so, seit du mich liebst. Nun wollt ich dir höchst erwohnen.
Und Friedmund, darfst du froh dich nicht nennen?
Nenne mich du, wie du nicht, dass ich heiße.
Siegmund and Sieglinde, brother and sister. declare their love for each other, and run off into the night in spring. That's the end of Act One from Die Walküre, Part Two of Richard Wagner's four-part opera series, The Nibelung's Ring. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadel. I want to thank you for joining me this evening and my playlist in honor of spring. Stay tuned for a Classic Monday.
This program is made possible by you, the KGNU Listener members, and by First Citizens Bank, located at 1601 28th Street in Boulder, providing financial services to the Boulder community. More information can be found at firstcitizens.com. Member FDIC.
On April 26th and 27th, KGNU will be DJing, hosting, and streaming during FOCO MX Festival at Avogadro's Number in Fort Collins on AfterFM.com. If you are missing the festival, fear not, we have you covered. Tune in to AfterFM.com April 26th and 27th from 4 p.m. to midnight each day to hear KGNU DJs and live music from Avogadro's Number at FOCO MX. More information at kgnu.org or afterfm.com.
Well, it's coming up a minute after 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. And it's time now for a Classic Monday. Welcome, everyone, to KGNU's A Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadel, and I want to tell you a story. Actually, I'm going to play you some stories. And tonight, I'm continuing with the 16th in my series of programs of classical music illustrating some kind of unspoken narrative. Stories, scenes, nature, and places. And tonight's are all inspired by spring, such as the April Suite by the American composer George MacKay. And music of Vivaldi, Malipiero, Debussy, Frank Bridge, and Albert Roussel. So kick off your shoes and join me for tonight's Classic Monday.